purpose here today is to honor our Tampa Bay Rays. They are a major force in our community, and we feel they should be recognized and honored. All proceeds of today's luncheon goes to the Rays Foundation. And if you look in the program, you'll see all the wonderful projects they support throughout Tampa Bay. The Rays give so much to our community. We just wanted to, in a small way, give back to them. And I also want to sincerely thank all of you table sponsors. I really appreciate your support. Many of you and your companies are the backbone of our community, both corporately and civically. And really, you table sponsors and hosts, thank you very much. And a new point for us, our event today is being live streamed by RadioSaintPete.com and Joe Bordeaux. So, Joe Bordeaux, thank you for that. Now to the program. Your MCs for today are two great guys and pros at their craft. Let me tell you this. I listen to a lot of baseball around this country, and honestly, these are the two best radio announcers in Major League Baseball. So, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Freed and Dave Wills.
Thank you, sir. Read it just like we wrote it, so thank you very much. We know that this has been, at times, a tough season for the Tampa Bay Rays. It is a little kind of disappointing that for the first time in a while, we're not playing meaningful games in September. And during the year, there were a couple of times where we'd go up to Joe Madden and go, "Hey, Joe, could it get any worse?" And he said, "You never want to say it couldn't get any worse because it always could." And last night, I was reminded I could be doing Bucks football. So when did the Lightning start? But with that being said, it is a pleasure to be here, and again, it's always nice to see a lot of friendly fans and faces. We have come up a little bit short in our quest here in 2014, but at the same time, I think people have to realize that getting to the postseason in baseball isn't as easy as the Rays have made it look over the last 6-7 years. Baseball is still the one sport where only about 10% of the combatants make it, or 30% of the combatants make it to the postseason, 10 of the 30 teams. In the NHL, it's about half, and the NBA, it's about the same, and same thing with the NFL. So what Andrew Friedman and Matt Silverman and Joe Madden have done over the last 6-7 years is absolutely incredible. We're looking to bounce back in 2015. We hope that nobody's losing the faith. I think we're starting to see some nice, subtle signs that 2015 could be back to Rays baseball. We're seeing some great starting pitching. Drew Smyly turned out to be a pretty good trade, didn't it? We've seen some guys develop in front of our eyes. Alex Cobb has developed into the ace's ace that I think a lot of people expected him to. Chris Archer is moving toward being a top-of-the-rotation type pitcher. We looked at what Jake Odorizzi did this year, growing right in front of our eyes and becoming a very, very good major league pitcher and following in the footsteps of guys like Jeremy Hellickson and the like. So, again, we've got a lot of promise on the pitching staff side of things. We can shore up the bullpen. I think that's going to take care of itself, hopefully, and then obviously get some guys back to where they're supposed to be offensively. And we can be back to playing some meaningful games in September in 2015 and having some fun and getting back to the postseason because I'll be honest with you, I'm not used to doing honey-do lists in October, and it's already getting started.
So true. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Like Dave said, it's easy to take for granted how often this team has made postseason. The people of Baltimore are going crazy right now because they just won their first division since the Rays came into existence, which was back in 1997 is the last time the Orioles won the AL East. So certainly it's humbling, and it's not as much fun to not go to postseason, but at the same time, we've certainly had a lot of fun during the year, and it's so great to see people like Evan Longoria here today, and a mainstay of this franchise. Ben Zobrist will be here a little bit. This team would look so different without Ben, and Jake Odorizzi bursting onto the scene as one of the top rookies in the American League. So there certainly has been a lot of fun this year, even though, hey, it's going to end September the 28th. At this time, I'd like to bring Shannon up. We first saw Shannon McGrain sing the national anthem at Tropicana Field when she was 11 years old. And I can remember seeing her dad, Joe, pace the hallways. And Joe is a guy that never looks nervous. This is the guy who started Game 7 of a World Series. And I asked him, I said, what was more nerve-wracking, this or Game 7? And he was sweating, and he said, no question, that makes me nervous to see my little girl down there. Well, she has certainly blossomed into a terrific talent, a wonderful singer, and I'll introduce her without the awkward introduction of Steven Tyler, who did that on American Idol. Shannon McGrain with the national anthem.
Broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting. Flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Wow. Now isn't it Rusty's turn to find some little kid to say play ball? All right. Just... All I know is that one day I hope I had a voice that good. Wow. That was impressive, Shannon. Outstanding. One of the best. One of the best of the best. And we hear national anthems throughout the country 162 times a year and then some. And I can honestly say that is one of the best. Of the best of the best. And now for our invocation, let's bring up Ray's team chaplain, Gio Urena. Gio.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together here in this room and celebrate what you have done through this organization throughout this season. Father, we thank you for from the staff on to the coaches and players, Lord, and for, first of all, their physical abilities that you have privileged them with, Lord, and we thank you for that, that they are celebrating that on the field each and every day, giving you the glory for it. And, Lord, we also want to thank you for the off-the-field activity of these young men and staff and organization, as well as the clutch hitters, Lord, that we go out and we give to those that are in need. And, Lord, I think that's your heartbeat. I thank you that this organization is doing. We ask your blessing over this organization, over all that goes on here today. We pray that you would bless our food, our time together, and that all that is said and done will bring glory to you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
All right. According to our sheet here, you have 17 minutes and 30 seconds to eat. So start eating today. Neil Solon, who I think does an outstanding job hosting our pregame and postgame shows. Neil, why don't you... It's not a real easy gig to do when your team is struggling a little bit, and it's also not a real easy gig to do when your broadcaster's going, I don't know why Joe didn't bunt. Why didn't Joe bunt? I wish I knew why Joe didn't bunt. And then postgame show, Bob from Arcadia calls up and says, why didn't Joe bunt? So, again, I think Neil does a fantastic job. Also want to mention that I did help pay for that table with J.J. Taylor last night, so thank you very much. You're welcome. Love the shirts. And finally, too, Shannon, we had forgot to mention this, too. Shannon is releasing, I believe it's her first single. It'll be her first single on October 21st, which will be quite the birthday present as well. It's her birthday as well, I found out. I'll try and get you something better than what I got you last year, but you can find it on iTunes on October 21st, Shannon McGrain's first single, so keep an eye out for that on October the 21st. Yeah, this is where we bring up Rusty.
I thought so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a guy that we have gotten a chance to know now for 8 years, and he's always poking his head into our booth and asking, why didn't Joe bunt? But at the same time, he has become a terrific friend to all of us. He is, in many ways, the voice of Tropicana Field and the face of Tropicana Field. And I'd like to, we'd both like to welcome Rusty Kapp.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. Dave, Andy, thank you very much. Red Mike. Real quickly, too, guys, thank you so much. 10 years of service in the radio booth. Dave Wills and Andy Freed. Gentlemen, congratulations, and thank you so much for all the work you have done. I'm sneaking back here. Was it Alex? Alex, we talked a little bit earlier. Alex, where are you from, Alex?
Tampa Bay, Florida.
Okay, that's right around here. What do you do with your life, Alex?
That's
great. Alex, take a walk up with me. You're going to be playing a game. Alex, you're playing a game I'm calling How Well Do You Know Jake Odorizzi? And you're going to compete against... I'm going to look for somebody else who you could play this game against. You'll be getting questions about Jake, you and another contestant. Whoever answers more correctly will win a prize. How about you? Okay, you'll be playing against Jake Odorizzi. In fact, let's head up on the stage here for this. So, Alex, I'll put you right over here on my left, if you don't mind. Jake, thank you very much for willing to partake in this, and this will be the last time you ever do anything like this for me ever again, okay? I'm going to ask each of you three questions about Jake Odorizzi. He who answers the most correctly will win this baseball autographed by the loser. It'll be very exciting. Big future in front of for this kid, all right? First thing I want to ask you, too, what was the most exciting moment this season for you?
I think that run we went on to get back to 500 was about the most exciting. We won all but one game on the series with Baltimore, New York, and Detroit. And you don't really sweep too many teams in New York, and we did that. We won, I think, 10 out of 11 or 9 out of 10, and we got close to 500, and then we got there. So I think that was the most exciting thing.
No, that's wrong. The most exciting moment of the season for you was when you caught Tony La Russa's first pitch at Tropicana Field and then looked at me and said, that was awesome. So, good try. You're 0 for 1. Alex, on July 22nd of the season, Jake picked up the W and his first career RBI when he was playing against his hometown St. Louis Cardinals. What does the acronym RBI stand for?
Run batted in.
You know Jake Odorizzi really well. You're 1 for 1. Sometimes you get behind in the count a little bit. You can still make up for this, okay? You and your wife, Carissa, currently reside in Delray Beach, Florida, correct? Okay, good. You got that right. Who is the mayor of Delray Beach?
I'm not sure.
That is correct. You are not sure. Carrie Glickstein. I think we all knew it was Carrie Glickstein. You're 0 for 2. In 2008, Jake led his high school team to the Class 3A state title. He went 14-0 and pitched to a 0.10 ERA. He would thus be named Gatorade State Player of the Year. What state was that in? Hint, the biggest city is Chicago.
Illinois?
Illinois is right, yes!
I'm just glad he didn't say Illinois.
This is good. All right, you still got a chance to make up. How are you feeling? Okay, hopefully you can. What was your 2012 ERA while pitching for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals.
I'd like to think under a three, but I don't know. Let's say under a three.
3.32 that year. 3.32. You were thinking a year back. Final question for you. You could sweep the table at this point. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes, you are ready. You went 3 for 3. You know Jake Odorizzi better than Jake Odorizzi. Put your hands together for the both of them. Gentlemen, I'll have you step down here. You're going to win a baseball autograph by Jake Odorizzi. Gentlemen, back to you.
All right, Jake, better luck next year, pal. Nicely done. At this time, we'd like to introduce Clutch Hitter Chairman Bob Bilek, Clutch Hitter David Hood, Mike Castleman from J.J. Taylor Distributors, and Suzanne Lukey, the Rays Senior Director of Community Relations. Come on up.
Around. And one little known fact about Dave, he is the world's foremost tour guide for watering holes in major league cities. And he will take you to all the hallowed places. Every once in a while, you'll see Mark Topkin there at the bar. But more importantly, in addition to the Clutch Hitters providing a forum for the baseball writers, also for the Rays to give out their awards today, we are equally proud of being able to make a contribution to charity. Because of all of you today, especially J.J. Taylor, we were able to make another donation this year to the Rays Foundation. So at this time, on behalf of the Clutch Hitters and all of you, we'd like to make a presentation to Suzanne to the Rays Foundation in the amount of $25,000.
Thank you very much on behalf of the Rays Baseball Foundation. This will go a long way in helping us fulfill our mission, which is to impact youth and education in the Tampa Bay region. The Clutch Hitters have been such great supporters over the years. As of 2008, the Rays and the Rays Baseball Foundation has invested over $13 million in the Tampa Bay region. It's work we're really very proud to be doing. We get great support from our players as well, and I just want to acknowledge Evan Longoria, who's here, who helps us sponsor Reading with the Rays, which is a summer incentive-based reading program that's in 9 counties throughout the state, helping kids keep their reading skills sharp over the summer so they're ready to go back to school in the fall. And it's just one of the many wonderful programs that we're working on. I encourage you to check out our annual report at raysbaseball.com/community. Thank you very, very much.
Again, thank you all for making this possible. I'm going to talk very briefly about the Clutch Hitter update and what's been going on in the community regarding supporting the Rays in a meaningful way. Oh, by the way, you'll see this presentation again tonight on the field with Mark Topkin. Mark is wearing his tie once a year, again for tonight. Mark, what time is that tie due back for the tie rental place? Hey, last year he got me, all right? Seriously, this year the Clutch Hitters have been working hard behind the scenes to spread the wealth about the need for a new stadium to the stakeholders. I look out here and I'm preaching to the choir as far as what the Rays mean to this community. Both they're highly visible with sports, but more importantly, they're an economic generator. And we always want a business in this community to be successful financially. They've been successful on the field year after year since a new ownership group came on board. But business-wise, this area has been woefully short of supporting them with fans and corporate sponsorships. So I'm talking here to the core. I'm hereby appointing you all as ambassadors to the Rays in the offseason. What you need to do to talk to other corporations, to businesses, and to your friends is to be more involved with season tickets.
My goodness, how many different season ticket packages do the Rays have? Encourage these people to use season tickets. An example, Tuesday night, I brought clients to the game for Jeter night. Now, actually, I was there for Rays night, but they were there for Jeter night. But they were impressed by coming to the game and had a great time. What a great way to entertain clients. Wednesday night, two staff members and their guests went in our seats. What a great benefit for the employees. These are ways that you and others in the community can support the Rays as far as your business. Sponsorships, group outings, all those things are ways in which we can support the Rays. And most of you all do that, but we need to get others involved. Finally, the stadium. We've been encouraging Mayor Kreisman to work with Stu Sternberg to reach a resolution. That is ongoing. We encourage you to be voices to the mayor and others in the Tampa Bay community to offer viable alternatives to the Rays for a new stadium. So that's the challenge. Between now and the 2015 season start, I hope all of you will be out there as ambassadors for the Rays, encouraging more support for the Rays. And hopefully at this time in 2015, we'll be looking forward to the playoffs and watching the Rays do better financially. Thank you. Next, more importantly, Rusty, are you ready for part two? More importantly, Rusty is our in-stadium host every game, and he told me beforehand his real goal in life is to be the next Dick Crippen. So,
all right, everybody.
It's all yours.
Thank you very much. I'm actually looking for a volunteer right now. And by the way, would you guys mind being my beauties? Dave, Andy,
sure.
Here, hold this. There you go. Do that. You can see I blew my entire budget on my props. I'm looking for any contestant, any random person. You seem lovely. What's your name?
Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Would you like to play a game, Barbara? Come on, Barbara. Yeah. Everybody's really excited to see you play this game. Barbara, you're playing. Take a walk with me. You said maybe the next Dick Crippen. I feel like it's like looking into the future. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, senior advisor for the Rays, Mr. Dick Crippen, please stand up. Again, like looking directly into the future. Barbara, do me a favor. Come on up here. Barbara, do you remember the game Let's Make a Deal?
Yes.
Fantastic. I've got a great deal for you. Come right up here on the stage. Allow me. I don't think that helped at all. Barbara, in my hand, I have a Longo t-shirt. I know you have a closet full of them. Okay? You can walk out of here right now, a winner, with a Longo t-shirt. Walk away, be a winner. Or, you could choose box number one or box number two. Folks, what do you think that she should do? Barbara, the t-shirt or one of the boxes?
T-shirt.
Your t-shirt. Are you sure? I have a whole second act planned. Assuming you were going to take one of the boxes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Give her both? Give her... Well, I can't say no to you. That's not fair. Just for my sake, choose a box, and I'll make sure you get a t-shirt.
Two.
You're going to choose box number two. Okay, very good. All right, open up box number... No, don't. Here's the second part. This is why you're supposed to go to the boxes. You could stay with box number two, or you could keep the t-shirt and whatever is inside this mystery envelope that says mystery. So what would you like to do? I'm assuming you want to take the t-shirt and the mystery envelope. Yes, okay. You had chose box number two. Go ahead and open it up. Let's see what was inside there. It was a award winner selfie. You would have gotten a picture with those handsome minor league award winners right back there at table number nine. You're not going to get that. That's okay. Open up box number one. You could have won a new car. This Matt Joyce car giveaway. We had two seasons. You didn't win that. Instead, you reluctantly chose mystery envelope as well as a t-shirt. So you get the t-shirt and inside mystery envelope. Radio voicemail greeting. Dave Wills and Andy Freed are going to record the greeting on your voicemail. She's gone. She's gone. Put your hands together for Barbara, the big winner, and let's make a deal. Good afternoon. We'll have you record that later on, gents.
Hi, this is Barbara. Can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message after the beep. Next.
All right. That'll be rather interesting. All right, well, again, we might even have one other prize here later. I don't know, Rusty, we have you again? You're done?
That's all they could afford. All right. Was two hits.
That's all we can afford?
Yeah.
Only two Rusties? All right, we've got something here. Our friends at BB&T gave Andy something. I'm going to give it away. No, I'm just kidding. We have got a Dave and Andy bobblehead. Hey. Whose birth? Anybody got a birthday today? All right, well, we'll save it till next year. Anybody got a birthday tomorrow? Birthday today?
Bruce.
Do you want it? Here you go. Then you can have a Dave and Andy bobblehead.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
That's
now we go to go back and record something for Ben Zobrist down there, I guess. All right. Right now we want to bring up David Feaster, and he is going to present the Clutch Hitter Award. David?
May I have the luncheon committee members up on the stage, please? Good job, Rusty. That was funny. That really was funny. A little better than having a boring, bald banker speak, huh? This is your luncheon committee, and your luncheon committee selects the Clutch Hitter Award. The Clutch Hitter Award is given each year by the Clutch Hitters organization to someone who has had significant impact on baseball in the Tampa Bay area. Previous winners of the Clutch Hitter Award are the late Don Zimmer, County Commissioner and City Councilman Bob Stewart, former City Manager Rick Dodge, and last year John Higgins, the Rays General Counsel and first Rays employee. This year our first winner, Don Zimmer, a beloved member of the Rays staff in our community, passed away. At this point we'd like to show a short tribute. With us today is Don's widow, Soot, if she would stand, please. Thank you. Now for our 2014 Clutch Hitter Award winner. Our 2014 winner is best known as Mr. Baseball in Tampa Bay. He was one of the first to dream that our waterfront city should have its own big league baseball team. He worked to pave the way and threw out the first pitch of the very first game with the Tampa Bay welcomed the expansion Tampa Bay Devil Rays. It was he, then publisher of the St. Petersburg Times and Evening Independent, who dared to suggest in the mid-70s that this city seek a major league team. He was the first to suggest St. Petersburg pursue a major league team, and it was his contacts and his influence that converted St. Petersburg from a traditional spring training camp to a major league city. It was Jack Lake who went to Tallahassee and spurred the state legislature to create the Pinellas Sports Authority in 1977 as a first step. It was Lake who raised the money for the initial feasibility study and led the Chamber of Commerce's baseball campaign to bring the Tampa Bay area baseball. When Jack retired from the Times in 1984, after 24 years, he went on to serve as president of Suncoast Baseball Limited, which was a private group committed to bring Major League Baseball franchise to the Bay Area. And Jack Lake was a leader of the campaign to build what was later named the Florida Suncoast Dome, which is now Tropicana Field. His is among the names engraved on the plaques in the dome's lobby. He was humble about his efforts. "It was just me talking," Jack said in later years about the early days of the baseball campaign. But people listened. When he retired from the Times on April 1st, 1984, the newspaper staff hung a banner in the lobby of the Times that said, "So long, Mr. Baseball." 8 years later, his dream came true. In 1998, city leaders named a memorial path between Al Lang Stadium and Tropicana Field, which has replica home plates signifying the years of baseball in our town, the Jim Healy and Jack Lake Baseball Boulevard, in honor of the original dreamers to suggest a quiet waterfront city deserves its own baseball team. Jack Lake was born in West Virginia and attended Ohio State University before joining the Navy in World War II. He came to the Tampa Bay Times, then the St. Petersburg Times, in 1960 and rose through the ranks as advertising director, vice president, general manager, executive vice president, and ultimately publisher. Eugene Patterson, former chairman of the Times, recalled that Nelson Pointer, the late chairman of the Times Publishing Company, once told him, "Jack Lake was the best newspaper executive he ever saw." Moreover, the whole town and all of Florida owe Jack enduring thanks for his civic vision and dominant leadership. St. Petersburg is a big league city, and the Times is Florida's largest daily, in part because Jack Lake came this way, Gene Patterson said. We won't see his likes again. For more than two decades, Mr. Lake was a key force in guiding the Times through dramatic growth and technological advancements, making it now the state's largest newspaper. He was equally passionate about improving the Tampa Bay area, helping bring St. Petersburg the Marine Science Program, the University of South Florida, and the Salvador Dali Museum, and obviously paving the way for baseball. Andrew Barnes, former editor, chairman, and chief executive officer of the Times, once said, "Jack Lake combined newspaper values and community values better than any man I've ever known. He had a lot to do with making our community the place we want to live." And lastly, baseball legend Stan Musial, a close friend, once recalled, "He loved St. Petersburg so much." Ladies and gentlemen, our 2014 Clutch Hitter of the Year winner, Jack Lake. Accepting for Jack is his daughter, Cindy. 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 This one's on.
I'm inviting my sister Diane Wetherell to come up here with me. She's with Fox 13, so the station is in good hands without her today. But I'm glad you're here. I brought my son and everything. I said, you just can't miss the Clutch Hitters luncheon. It's like one of the best things of the year. So thank you so much. I think we're a little blown away seeing those pictures. As you can imagine, it's a little emotional. But Diane and I can certainly remember all the years that my father would leave town because he was going to the baseball meetings. Because he was courting those owners to try to get them to bring a team to St. Petersburg. And I remember the year that he said, you know, when he got sick, he had a number of strokes, and he said, Cynthia, it's time to turn it over to the younger guys. And I think he would be so proud of the Clutch Hitters, all you younger guys. And, well, really, and for what you've done for St. Petersburg, what you're doing for the Rays. And I also have a share of memory. I thought about it today when I was looking at Ben and Evan and Jake, and he wrote a letter. His handwriting was very, very shaky later in life, and he said, I want to write a letter to Vince Namoli. And he had tried to write it, and he just couldn't hold the pen anymore, but he said, I want you to tell him this. And so he's dictating the letter to me. You tell Vince, dear Vince, if you would get those guys into the community, that's how we would develop our fan base. You've got to get those guys into the community. And I think, as somebody who's with the Children's Dream Fund, and I know what they do for us, the fact that all you guys are willing to come into the community and get involved with the different initiatives like the drowning prevention and the reading and all the things these players do to meet the fans, and they really represent the team so well, and I just can't imagine a better team in baseball than the Tampa Bay Rays. I think this is just everybody says they're the finest group of players, a wonderful front office, and I know our daddy, would have just been so proud of how that effort turned out. So thank you so much. We're just blown away, aren't we? I want to recognize my son, John, his number one grandson, who's here today, John Katzenberger, and so anyway, we're thrilled. It was, as you can imagine, as a family, we heard a lot about baseball growing up, and we're going to get that team in St. Petersburg, so it means the world to us. So thank you, Clutch Hitters, so much.
We'll get it to you after.
At this time, we would like to bring up Jeff McLaren, the Assistant Director of Minor League Operations, to present the Minor League Awards.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say thanks to the Clutch Hitters and J.J. Taylor for allowing us to be a part of this great event, especially standing up here with these great tributes to Mr. Zimmer and Mr. Lake. Just for us to be a part of that is great. It's always overwhelming how much interest there is in the Rays minor league system and what we do, and how people want to find the next Ben Zobrist, Jake Odorizzi, or Evan Longoria. And we hope the three guys that we're going to introduce to you today have a chance to be like those guys. So being the Rays and, you know, pitching being the backbone, it seems only appropriate for us to start right there. And I just want to let you know a little bit about our 2014 Pitcher of the Year. He started his season off in Bowling Green and dominated Midwest League hitters through eight starts, compiling a 1.79 ERA and striking out 42 hitters in 40 innings. He then earned a promotion up to Fort Charlotte and continued to baffle the Florida State League, striking out 75 more hitters in 72 innings. He capped his season off with a no-hitter on August 2nd. Against Daytona, and we sure hope that that's not the last no-hitter he pitches in a Rays uniform. So here's our 2014 Pitcher of the Year, Blake Snell.
All right, I'd just like to say thank you to Clutch Hitters and the Rays front office. I really appreciate this award, and hope I can keep doing what I'm doing for the Rays. Thank you.
It's often difficult to get chosen for a year-end award when you pretty much split your season between two different teams. But our 2014 Player of the Year was able to overcome some of those challenges, basically by being the best player on both of those teams. He started off his year in Bowling Green as well, playing an excellent center field and hitting 290 before earning a promotion at midseason to Charlotte. As all these guys can tell you, making the jump from one league to the next can be a challenge, and it's also very difficult to repeat the numbers that you put up at a lower league. But our 2014 Player of the Year didn't have any problem with that. He took the promotion in stride and ended up hitting 320 for our Florida State League team, as well as adding five home runs and, again, playing an excellent center field defense. We like to think that we're creating complete players in our minor league system, and on top of hitting 320, playing great defense, and also stealing 23 bases, I'd like to introduce to you our 2014 Player of the Year, Johnny Field.
Yeah, first off, I'd like to thank the Clutch Hitters for hosting this luncheon for us. And secondly, I'd like to thank everyone in the front office with the Rays. Very humbled and honored to accept this award. And like Blake said, just keep the momentum going and carrying to next year. So, thank you.
Well done. Well done. Congratulations.
Lastly, I'd like to introduce our Eric Walker Community Champion. As you can read in your bulletins, in 2006, we lost one of our players, Eric Walker, to a tragic accident. And each year since, we like to honor his memory by presenting an award to someone in our organization who demonstrates teamwork and sportsmanship as well as community involvement. We think the 2014 winner of this award is an excellent embodiment of everything that Eric stood for. He also began the season with our Bowling Green team and became an instrumental person in the community there, reading to kids at elementary schools, participating in anything that the team asked for with fans, with sponsors, etc. And one story they wanted me to relay today was before he pitched on a Friday night, he got introduced to a few T-ball players who asked him to come to their game the next Saturday morning. And after playing deep into the night on Friday night, he was able to wake up early the next morning and was there before the kids even arrived to the field. And I think that just shows the character of our 2014 Eric Walker Community Champion, Jake Faria.
I'd like to say, you know, thank you to the Clutch Hitters for putting on this event, and thank you to everybody in the Rays front office, the coaches, anybody that had anything to do with voting for this award. I really appreciate it. Understanding what it means and why they do it is it's an honor to win, and just understanding that we're put in a position to make people's lives a little better, kids, you know, a little brighter, their days a little brighter, and I'm just, you know, trying to do my part. So.
Thanks, Jeff. Once again, congratulations to these young men, and hopefully in the very, very near future, maybe we'll see them in the seats that Ben, Evan, and Jake occupy right now, maybe a few years from now, when we have another one of these Clutch Hitter Luncheons to honor the Major League Award winners. And it does take character to get up early to do things like that, and it is for the kids. And I think that's one way that we are going to continue to grow this game, is through the young children. And I think baseball right now has an excellent chance to kind of revive itself. And I think, again, because of some of the guys that we have in this room, both in the minor league level and major league level, baseball is in very, very good hands here in Tampa Bay. It's also in pretty good hands when it comes to the print media. As a matter of fact, it is a special day, always, for Mark Topkin when he does pull out the tie. You know, there's two things either going on when Mark Topkin gels his hair and pulls out the sport coat. Either he's going to be on TV, or he's doing some kind of award presentation. Today, I'm not sure if he's on TV, but he is doing a couple of award presentations. My friend, even though it doesn't sound like it sometimes on the radio, Mark Topkin.
brought some baseball ties for you guys here later if you want to change. Thank you very much. Those of you who do listen to Andy and Dave's pregame show, well, the two or three of you anyway, you know I'm a regular guest, and they're always telling me to keep it short. But
it's actually Neil's pregame show. It's actually Neil's show.
Oh,
I'm about ready to jump out of that table. You better be careful.
I forgot. Sorry. Anyway, since I have the mic today, you guys might want to go step back and assume that bobblehead pose. It's going to be a few minutes.
Yep, he gets the mic. I can listen to him all day, and that's what it usually takes, all day.
Anyway, in addition to covering all 17 Rays seasons for the Tampa Bay Times and TampaBay.com, I'm also the chairman of the Tampa Bay chapter of the Baseball Writers Association of America. That's the group that at the end of each season gives out the awards like the Rookie of the Year, MVP, Cy Young, and we tend to create a little bit of controversy with our Hall of Fame voting every year, it seems. Each major league city has its own chapter. Here in the Tampa Bay chapter, we've made it our policy and our privilege to give out three awards at the end of each Rays season. The Paul C. Smith Champion Award, the Outstanding Rookie Award, and the Most Valuable Player Award. We used to just announce these awards on the field before a game, and a few years ago, Dave Feaster and Bob Bilek called me up and invited me out for coffee, which those of you who know them would be surprised it was for coffee. But they pitched the idea of this banquet. I was a little hesitant at first. I wasn't sure how it would really work, and now it's obviously turned into a great event, one we look forward to being part of every year. This is our fourth year, and obviously a very successful event. Thanks to everyone for making it that way. I'm also proud that we haven't had to resort to any cheap theatrics to keep everyone interested. Rusty, what is it? Spot the Cow is next? Is that the deal? So, I am going to introduce the winners again on the field tonight, although I'm first going to check with Joe Girardi and make sure that's okay. So any of you who are going to the Trop tonight, you can certainly impress your friends by predicting who's going to win. Our first award is the Paul C. Smith Champion Award, named after a former colleague and presented to the player who best exemplifies the spirit of true professionalism on and off the field. Our winner is certainly a familiar face, drafted by the Rays in 2006, debuting in 2008, the big league team, developing not only into one of the leading players on the team, but also the clear leader of the team, both on the field and in the clubhouse. And if we can just get him Derek Jeter's phone number, he's even going to work on that leadership a little more. A previous winner of our Outstanding Rookie Award and our Most Valuable Player Award, he today joins Carl Crawford and James Shields as the only winners of all three of our awards, and we're quite proud of that. The Paul C. Smith Champion Award winner is Evan Longoria. Our next award is for the Outstanding Rookie. The Rays are built to rely on young players on an annual basis, and they've certainly had a number of good ones over the years. Just look in that beautifully printed program by Al at a list of our previous winners. Carl Crawford, Rocco Baldelli, James Shields, Evan Longoria, Jeremy Hellickson, Will Myers, the last three of whom went on to win the American League Rookie of the Year award. This year, there were two very strong candidates. Outfielder Kevin Kiermaier came up, opened some eyes, hustled his way into the Rays' plans, and from what Carly Ross tells us at the meetings, into quite a few hearts as well, with his inspired play. And there was pitcher Jake Odorizzi, who came over in the trade with Kansas City, won the fifth starter's job this spring, and has gone on to become the Rays' leading winner. 11-12 record, 3.98 ERA with one more start to go. And perhaps as significant of an accomplishment, he did well enough that everyone now knows how to say his last name properly. The Tampa Bay Baseball Writers Association Outstanding Rookie for 2014 is Jake Odorizzi.
Congratulations, buddy.
We'll make this quick. Jake, I got a chance to sit on a panel with you very similar to this back in spring training. And could you have imagined how well this year would have gone for you?
I would hope it had gone better, to be honest with you. But that's something for next year. There's room for improvement. But anytime you get an award as a pitcher, it's not just you. It's you have eight guys behind you and nine in the lineup that are playing behind you each day. And without them, you know, none of this would have been possible.
You got a lot of firsts out of the way this year. First Major League win. You actually got a first save in Major League Baseball before win, a last year saving game against the Yankees. But you got a chance to pitch against the Brewers, a team that had drafted you, against the Royals, and against the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright, who you lost 1-0 to in one game and then beat the next time. It was kind of nice to deal with a lot of those firsts, and you don't have to answer questions about first anymore. But those are probably some pretty special moments for you.
Yeah, the only thing left is first hit, so we'll figure that out next year. But first RBI is the biggest one for me right now. That's the coolest thing you can get as a pitcher.
I thought, you know, I know that Rusty had a different most awesome moment for you, but I thought maybe the most awesome moment had to be as you were leaving Busch Stadium after that win to see Odorizzi, the winner, Wainwright, the loss. How cool was that? I mean, being a guy that grew up around there, that had to be pretty cool. I know I took a picture of it. You got any pictures of it?
I think Chris has a few pictures of everything. And no, it was kind of one of those surreal moments where, you know, I grew up right down the road from Busch Stadium and watched hundreds of games there, and being able to just go out there and, you know, throw against one of my childhood idols and come out on the winning side this time was a very special moment, something I'll never forget.
And it was a little bit of a shaky start, but Evan came over and kind of had a few words of wisdom for you.
Yeah, well, I kind of asked him, like, just calm me down somehow, and he was able to do that, and like I said, couldn't have started off any worse, but it got better from there.
Sure did. Jay, congratulations, and we'll see you back on the mound soon.
Our last and most prestigious award is for the most valuable player. MVP selections on any level can always be complicated, semantical, and at times controversial, particularly when you get into the definition of valuable. To some people, it means simply the best player. To others, the player who means the most to the team. To some, it's purely statistical, whether simple or advanced metrics. To others, it's more about intangibles. For most people, I think it ends up being a combination. And I think we can all agree that valuable can be defined in different ways, which brings me, hang on, Dave, I'm getting to the point. Anyone who has been around for the past 11 Rays seasons know there is no one who is more valuable in terms of knowledge, in terms of attitude, in terms of insight, in terms of inspiration, in terms of saying something to make you think or to make you laugh, in terms of so many things, than Don Zimmer. Though he passed away this summer, we want to permanently recognize how valuable he was to the Tampa Bay baseball community. And from this day forward, this award will now be known as the Don Zimmer Most Valuable Player Award. I'd like to ask his wife, Soot, who you saw earlier, to join me on stage to present this year's award. The Rays, as you know, have had an interesting season. We've had an interesting vote on our MVP award. Evan Longoria and Jake McGee both got strong support. But the value of our winner can be seen in so many ways, from standard and advanced offensive statistics, his ability to play multiple positions at a top level, his selfless team-first attitude, his commitment to his family, his faith in his team. The winner of the 2014 Tampa Bay Baseball Writers Don Zimmer Most Valuable Player Award is Ben Zobrist.
Thank you all so very much. It's very special that Soot was made the presentation. So thank you to the baseball writers, Mark and the rest of you guys, and the clutch hitters for this banquet. Just have to say thank you to my teammates. If I got a vote, I probably would have voted for that guy right down there. Just because of his leadership on the team, and you know, he's always been that guy that has you know, led everybody and you know, always kept going no matter what. I think he's played in every game this year, so it's pretty impressive considering things hadn't turned out necessarily the way that we expected them at the start of the season. But nonetheless, I'm extremely grateful for this award, especially since it's named after Zim. And if I had to say one highlight for me for the whole year, I mean, there was a lot of things. I was able to get 1,000 hits just recently, and that's a huge special thing for me. But if I had to say one highlight that I'll always remember from this year, it's getting to pray at Zim's memorial. So thank you very much for that opportunity. It's just special to be a part of his day. And I want to thank my wife because of her support constantly for me, always. Zion and Cruz, because they don't care how well I do in the game, ever. They just come give me a hug. So thankful for that. I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I know that no blessings come without him being in control. So I'm thankful for that. And this is a really special day for our family, because today is Cruz's third birthday. That's why she is enjoying this up on stage with me. So, yay. So we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Are we okay with that? Happy birthday.
Many, many more.
On behalf of the baseball writers, thank you very much. And now I will turn it back over, as they remind me all the time, to the professionals.
Again, congratulations to each of the winners. And, you know, I wondered why there was some tissue up here when I started seeing the Zim video tribute again. It brought back a lot of, you know, emotions, obviously. And, you know, the beauty of having Don Zimmer around, I mean, he was, for lack of a better way to put it, he was the Forrest Gump of Major League Baseball. For every big moment there was, there's about a 99.9% chance that Zim was there. And it was always kind of nice to be able to go ask Zim about that particular moment. I'm from Chicago, so Zim would love to relive the 1989 Chicago Cubs season with me a lot. Unfortunately, I was a White Sox fan, and so he'd ask me a lot of questions about the Cubs, and I'd be like, Google, real quick. And, you know, but we had a lot of fun talking about Chicago. He said many, many times that was his most favorite year of managing baseball. It was in 1984. Andy loves to stay current. Andy loves to look back at 1970s and 1980s baseball games on YouTube. And
my advice.
Wasn't too long ago that there was a game between the Cubs and the Reds that actually Tom Foley was in. And there was a home run hit, supposedly by Ron Say, that the umpires called fair. Then they got together after a long discussion, called it foul. And then Don and Jim Fry got a little upset because Don was the third base coach. Well, to see Don Zimmer again, you know, 30 years ago, bouncing around and arguing with the umps and jumping around and getting in the face of a couple guys. And then after about 2 or 3 minutes of arguing, he'd have to stop and go. And then get right back at it and start arguing again. It was incredible. And I want, you know, and it was at that point where you go, I would love to have been able to ask Don about that. It's just unfortunate that we just haven't had that chance. But that, again, it was great to see him so full of vim and vigor again. And you know, I did play for a team called the Southside Cubs in college for a summer league team. And my number was number 4. And that was the number that Don Zimmer wore. And I was actually pretty proud. That was the only, I liked the back of my jersey, the number, a lot better than I liked the front of my jersey.
The cool thing, too, about that video, by the way, it's an argument. You could tell it's before replay because an argument that went on for 33 minutes. It's on YouTube. You've got to look this up. And the reason that Zim was so out of breath is because one of the players from the Reds got ejected from the game. And he takes off to the umpires to tackle him. And who got in the way to protect the umpire? Don Zimmer. And that's why he was out of breath, because he had to stop a charging bull at the men in black.
The irony.
What's that?
Oh, the irony of him protecting the umpires, huh?
That's right. I am so honored that Soda's here today. I wanted to put this in writing but didn't get a chance. And my favorite moment with your husband is sitting in the back of a limo. I've been invited to speak with Zim. He was invited to speak. I tagged along with. At a Bo Sox Club luncheon. And I was pretty new to this job, and I was pretty starstruck and honored to be sitting in the back of the vehicle with him, just the two of us. Uninterrupted time with Don Zimmer. I mean, what a dream. And I asked him, because at the time we have just a young daughter, been married for a couple of years, and I said, you've stayed married for all this time, city to city, job to job. You've been all over the country. You've traveled around the world. How do you make your marriage work? And he said, it's all because of her. And I've never forgotten that. For all the great baseball moments, it's my favorite moment with Don Zimmer. And he said to me, I got lucky with my wife. I hope you did too. He did. It's such an honor to see you today.
Well, we've tried to recreate a Rays game for you, so we're approaching the three-hour mark. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. We do, and that means at the three-hour mark, that means it's time to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game and let Shannon help close out the ceremonies here. A little better than the way Harry Carey did it, I think.
But you guys have to help me.
We'll help you. Everybody.
All right, everybody, stand up. We got to stand up and stretch. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I'll never, if I ever get back, for it's root for the voice. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out in the old ball game.
Let's get some runs.
Beautifully done, beautifully done. Again, we want to thank the clutch hitters, Dave and everybody, Bob, and also the folks at J.J. Taylor for everything they've done. Thanks to Ben, Jake, and also Evan for coming on by, our minor leaguers. Yep. And also thanks to everybody else, Mark Topkin and the baseball writers. Thank you very much. Tune in to 620 tonight, Rays baseball against the White Sox. Oh, I thought you said.
As we head into another weekend, let's take a look at the calendar for tomorrow, September 20th, here at RadioSaintPete.com. The Pioneer Settlement in Pinellas County will be holding a community yard sale tomorrow, Saturday, from 8 until 2 o'clock. That's at the Pinellas Pioneer Settlement, 3130 31st Street South. There will be a community festival and fitness walk being held in the Campbell Park beginning at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. The Founders Corner Fresh Market will continue from 9 until 3 tomorrow at 431 Southwest Boulevard. There will be another walking mural tour tomorrow morning beginning at 10 o'clock. Meet at Florida Craftsman. That's at 501 Central Avenue. It is a make-and-take Saturday. Printmaking with Mother Nature is the topic at the Museum of Fine Arts beginning at 11 o'clock in the morning. Visit fine-arts.org for more. The Dolly and Beyond film series presents The Forest at the Dolly at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We've been telling you about the St. Pete Oktoberfest. Well, it is tomorrow, 2800 Central Avenue. Visit stpeteoktoberfest.com for more. An afternoon with Jeff Klinkenberg is at the St. Petersburg Main Library tomorrow at 2 o'clock. St. Pete Libraries.org has details. Specifically, that's splibraries.org. The 10th annual Pot Roast will be held tomorrow at the Craftsman House Gallery at 2955 Central Avenue. That gets underway at 4 o'clock. For more information on their fundraising Pot Roast, visit CraftsmanHouseGallery.com. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, the Morian Center for Clay presents their third annual Eat Rich and Play Dirty event at the Morian Arts Center. There's baseball tomorrow night at 7:10, the Rays and the White Sox at the Trop. The Runway Fashion Show will be held tomorrow night. That's another program in the St. Pete and Art Fashion Week schedule that will be held at the One Progress Plaza, 200 Central Avenue. The St. Pete Art and Fashion Week has been going on all week. The event at Duncan McClellan Gallery tonight, tomorrow at One Progress Plaza, the Runway Fashion Show. Visit stpeteartandfashionweek.com for more. And tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, you can hear the Bogus Pump Orchestra performing the music of Frank Zappa inside the Palladium Theater. MyPalladium.org has details. That's the Saturday schedule tomorrow, September 20th. Keep listening to RadioSt.Pete.com. We're here 24 hours a day.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay.